Flummoxed, he pulled sharply on the reins, and Barnabas stopped short with a whinny that echoed into the emptiness. He dismounted and struck the ground with his staff, but no illusion fell away. No curtain was drawn, no shimmer betrayed a trace of the Blue Wizard's magic. The cabin was simply gone. He harumphed and struck the ground again with displeasure, and the snow began falling quickly, thickly, dropping in clumps as if it had fallen from the branches in the wood beyond. He hummed and looked at Barnabas, whose satin nose tip now held a delicate pile of the stuff, which he stared at, cross-eyed, with fluttering black lashes until it disappeared in a wink. Enoch grinned mightily then, and reached deep inside the great pockets of his inner red robe. He withdrew an oblong white pumice stone, which was porous and etched with a line of golden runes, then placed it atop his gnarled wooden staff.
"Stand back, Barnabas!"
The pony obliged and retreated a good distance, taking slow, halting steps backwards, while shaking his head to and fro. Enoch murmured an incantation, rubbing the smooth stone until it glowed and shivered. Then the stone exploded with liquid sparks and droplets of fire that blasted out into the scene of the clearing that slipped off like a silk veil, exposing the cabin in a shimmering flash of light. He beamed proudly at the gate and tucked the magically restored pumice stone back into his robe, regarding the domicile with curiosity. The cabin was smaller than he remembered, and rounder too. It was assembled of grey mossy rocks of varying sizes below a thatched roof and squat chimney that spouted rolling clouds of smoke into the night sky. The circular windows were yellow and flickered with the firelight inside, and the door was made of shiny hammered steel in the shape of an oval.
"Enoch!"
The roar came from within the cabin, and a sudden wisp of remembrance tugged down the corner of his lips just as the door burst open to reveal a short, rounded silhouette.
"I've told you a hundred times to knock, you old fool!"
Ives stuttered with rage and shook his fists at Enoch, stepping into the moonlight.
"It took me 3 weeks and a satchel of siren scale to construct that ward."
"Oh dear," said Enoch. He dropped his head down and a red bloom of shame alighted his cheeks.
"I'm terribly sorry. I must have forgotten."
"Yes, quite,"
Ives said curtly, smoothing his wiry white beard back to its natural point midway down his chest, right above his protruding belly.
"Now come inside before you catch your death, and leave Barney in the shed with Hortensia. She'll be glad for the company, the little trollop."
Enoch nodded gratefully and led Barnabas toward the narrow A-framed outbuilding with its mismatched stone walls. He opened the wooden door and was met by the familiar scent of hay and cedar, along with the woolly Hortensia, a striking white llama with icicle blue eyes, who scrambled to her feet. She towered nearly a full hand above Barnabas's head, who nickered gently in greeting. Her winter coat was full and long, and she shook the straw out gracefully as Enoch ushered the dappled pony within.
"What sorcery is this?"
asked Enoch, scratching his head.
"Troll magic,"
came a booming, baritone voice from beneath the bridge.
"Merry Christmas!"
Enoch and Barnabas turned to see an enormous, hulking, stone-skinned troll with black beetle eyes grinning out at them.
"No one comes across me bridge without a toll paid, even on Christmas."
"Supperating boils and bloody bones! It be the Red Wizard hisself!"
exclaimed a second troll, popping his head out from the other side of the bridge from his brother.
"Here we was making our Christmas, and out of the weather, and the old forgetful fool doesn't pay us so much as a pot of cranberry jam. We ought to have his pony for our supper."
Barnabas whinnied in terror, but did not move. Enoch stepped in front of him.
"Now, now, gentlemen," he said above the wind. "I'm sure we can reach an understanding. I had forgotten you'd taken up residence. I'm willing to pay a toll, but Barnabas is under an enchantment, and I'm told that spoils the taste of horse."
One troll, the larger one, scratched his head and ducked under the bridge. Then the other followed suit, and they could be heard to whisper together in booming voices under the bridge. But their words were carried away down the water by the knife-cruel wind. Then they re-emerged, and the bigger one said,
"What have you got to pay us with? And no tricks."
"The very idea," sniffed Enoch.
Then he paused a moment in thought.
I am prepared to pay you 2 rubies for passage over the bridge and back.
Can't eat rocks, said the smaller but still gargantuan troll. We want horse meat.
Horse meat?
He glanced at Barnabas with a slight grin, who looked back at him without a trace of amusement.
With these rubies you can buy a string of ponies, said Enoch. But if you must have meat tonight, I have the best Christmas goose you've ever set your eyes on.
Where is that, then?
Asked the larder troll.
Ah, yes. You see, it's hanging in a butcher's in the village, and when I pass back this way to go home, I'll have it. If you don't let me go, then no one eats tonight.